aware of those emails also, right? The ones that come supposedly from overseas and they tell you that you have inherited thousands upon thousands of dollars, or they want to give this money to you for some reason, and all you have to do is give them your bank account information, and the money will appear in your account. Amazing. Incredible. I'm sure you have passed by many of those, however. Those types of emails and such other scams appeal to our sinful nature's greed. According to our sinful thoughts, we can never have enough stuff. For example, if someone walked up to you this evening and gave you $1 million, and it was truly yours, you had it, there were no strings attached, and then next week someone tried to do the same thing, would you refuse that second $1 million because you already had the $1 million? It seems that we're always on the lookout for ways to increase our income or increase our good fortune. But Jesus, in this part of his Sermon on the Mount, has a very clear message for us. He tells us, without a doubt, you have an incredible treasure. Now, while it's true that generally we as Americans have a lot of material possessions, it's important for us to understand that the treasure that Jesus is telling us we have is not on this earth. In fact, nothing that we have while we are here on this earth is going to last. Jesus says that on this earth, everything that we have, moth and rust will destroy, or thieves will break in and steal. It doesn't matter what it is, it's going to be gone. You may have never been the victim of a thief, but all of us know that everything we have here materially is temporary. Our clothes that wear out or get torn up, our electronics that either get fried or perhaps get outdated, our cars that get eaten up by the salt on the roads, our houses that crumble with age, get blasted by storms, none of it lasts. And if our hearts and minds are set on pursuing more and more stuff, if we continue to get caught up in chasing the so-called American dream, we end up making material possessions our master. You see, we can't be serving God as our master at the same time. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. That last word, money, is actually mammon. And while money is a part of mammon, mammon actually means all of our material possessions. So bottom line, serving mammon while we're trying to serve God results not just in emptiness, it actually results in condemnation. Think about it. If all we do is work to get more and more stuff, if that's what is all important to us, and if what we work for eventually is going to be gone, we're left with nothing. But we've also, along the way, managed to make mammon our master. We've broken the first commandment because we've made that into our God. And that means we deserve God's condemnation. So what are we to do? Are we supposed to sell everything we have, give it to the poor, move out into the desert and live like a hermit? Well, we don't have to be that drastic. Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's the incredible treasure that we have right now. We have eternal life. We have eternal life now, and we also have it someday in heaven. Now, what's best about this treasure is that it is truly free. It comes to us without any strings attached. God simply gives it to us through his grace. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Paul writes in Romans 6. When Jesus offered up his perfect life on the cross as a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice for our sins, to take our death-causing sins away, even our sins of making material possessions our God. And having received that forgiveness through faith in Him, we have eternal life because our death-causing sins are gone. Now granted, it's pretty difficult for us to comprehend what having eternal life right now actually means. It's one thing to contemplate the utter bliss and joy of heaven, but even then, what is it going to be like? How can we imagine it? Are we going to be happy just being in God's presence for all eternity? Will we be satisfied giving praises to God constantly? Will we ever get bored in heaven? Or perhaps we think about heaven in terms of what's not going to be there, that we'll have no pain, no tears, no sorrow, no worries, no pressures, no temptations, no sin, no death. Well, consider this a foretaste, a little glimpse of heaven. No, not sitting here listening to me, but sitting here today in this chapel. When we gather together here, it's not just because we have nothing better to do. We come here because here we enter into God's presence, His very presence, to hear His word, to receive His grace. We come here and enter into the very presence of God to receive from Him His grace through His word, to receive forgiveness of our sins. We come here into the very presence of God to give Him our heartfelt praise and thanks for His gifts of grace. We come here into the very presence of God to offer up our prayers of thanks to His throne of grace. For this half hour or so this evening, we get this little glimpse of heaven. And that's something good to keep in mind as we consider this incredible treasure that we have from God. It's because of that heavenly treasure, that incredible heavenly treasure, that we serve God and serve Him alone. Our service to God, you see, is not a chore. It's not a drudgery, something that we just do slaving away as we try to get somewhere. And no, of course, we're not serving God in order to try and obtain things. God has already given us everything we could possibly need and then some. We serve God instead of serving mammon or any other false gods because we want to show Him our thankfulness. That's a logical response. When someone gives us a gift, we want to respond with thanks. And there are so many ways that we can thank God through our service to Him. You're serving God right now as you come here for worship. When you're a true friend to someone, when you're there to support someone in their time of need, you're serving God. When you listen to your professors, when you're a diligent student, you're serving God. When you respect your parents and not just consider them to be old-fashioned, you're serving God. When you work hard at your job, not complaining or slacking off or treating your boss like a jerk, you're serving God. Paul sums it up pretty well in 1 Corinthians 10 when he says, "Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." God has given you an incredible treasure. You may not remember when you first received that treasure. Maybe you were a baby at that time. But God renews that treasure every day. Every time that you come to Him and ask for forgiveness, every time you repent of your sins. And because of the work of His Son, God does forgive us. He does grant us forgiveness and life eternal. Don't look for your treasure anywhere else. Your only treasure is in your Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.